nice to see faces that haven't been here for a while, and it's just, it's great. And having Melissa here.
Yes.
So remembering is a key part of Deuteronomy. Moses is remembering all that he wants to convey to the Hebrew people, all that the Lord has told him. And the man who saw the face of God spent time with him. He was this gifted and well-trained person. So he ends up being, you know, learning about his Hebrew faith from his mother, who probably took care of him for his first 3 or 4 years, or maybe even longer. And then he's in the house of Pharaoh, where he's in one of the most advanced cultures in the world. So he learns a lot. But his true greatness comes from the time he spent with God. He goes from an excuse-making murderer to a true leader and an intercessor. And he understands the second chance that he's been given. And this gives him an understanding spirit and a forgiving heart, because he remembers that he was forgiven by God. And when we know that, we can be humble, knowing that our gifts come from God. So Moses' job description was really wide-ranging. He was the deliverer of God's people, the mediator of the covenant, the founder of the community. He, you know, put together the organization for how they would function and how they would make decisions. So he was a legislator and intercessor for the people. So this week, our Jewish friends celebrated Passover. And I know it was an extra special time and a really poignant time for the people in Israel. And we know that that represents an anniversary of the very first Passover, when they left Egypt. And they would put blood over the door so the angel of death would pass over their house. And in last week's lessons, we heard the instructions that they were to tell their children the laws. And they were to put them on their doorposts, so they have, Ginger told me, a mezuzah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's on the doorway, and a Jewish person will touch it on the way in their house and going out of their house.
And inside is a scroll that says, I will love the Lord our God with all my heart, all my soul. You know, I'll teach it to my children, put it on my doorposts, all that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little scroll inside
it. It's really beautiful. I thought you said it was the Ten Commandments, but
mm-mm.
Okay. It's the Shema.
Right.
Shema.
The Shema. Mm-hmm. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one
mm-hmm.
God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So I want to, instead of my little teeny tiny bottle, I brought my reading bottle.
Good.
I don't need my reading bottle.
Preach.
I just wanted to read the beginning of the Deuteronomy 8. It's just so beautiful. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord has promised an oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valley and the hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, And when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So we're asked not to forget, but to remember. So the promises God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to come to pass, and the people are about to enter the promised land. And Moses reminds them, remember what God has done for you. Remember how he tested you, and remember how he protected you. So they were dependent on him for everything, and that was, he wanted to be among them. He gives them the how to build the tabernacle, because he wants to tabernacle with them. He's their pillar of light, of fire by night and cloud by day. And unlike the gods that are just man-made gods, he wants to dwell among them. So they spend 40 years wandering. And I was thinking about 40 years. 40 years is a long time. I've been married for 39 and a half years. But if you count the time we dated, it's over 40 years. And when you think about our Bible study, we've been wandering for almost 35 years now. So we have gone, we started in Georgetown. We've gone as far away as Potomac, Maryland. We've spent years near the river in Palisades, but we've never crossed over into Virginia. But thank you to the girls who do that every week. But it's nice to be here in the valley, the Spring Valley that he promises sounds a lot like where we are now. And we're surrounded by azaleas and convenient parking. So God provided for us, from Melissa first stepping out in faith and saying she passed around flyers to the neighbors around her house saying, come and study about, I think you started with Ruth or Women in the Bible, or?
I can't even remember.
I think it was Women in the Bible.
Yeah. But to do a little handout, and the people that came, and the people who come all these years. So we have quite a history. We've grown together, helping each other through tragedies and through joys, and welcomed new people and prayed. We have our witnesses up in heaven. We have Cindy and Mona, Joe.
And Nicole.
Noel.
So the blessing of time and remembering is a gift. Someone asked me one time if I could spend a year going wherever I want to go and seeing anyone I want to see and doing everything I want to do, but at the end of the year I wouldn't remember anything.
Oh.
But I want to do it. Would you want to do it?
No.
Maybe if you had the pictures on your phone. No, I don't. It wouldn't be worth it. So Moses reminds them that if they forget the Lord, and they will surely be destroyed if they ever forget the Lord. So Moses knows that he's going to die, and he just wants to get everything out. He wants to express everything that the Lord's told him. And he knows that the people will stray. The Lord has warned him that they're going to stray. So he keeps telling them, please don't stray. They're asked to remember. And remembering grounds us. Remembering gives us empathy. Their wanderings in the desert made them more compassionate. He wanted them to remember where they came from and to tell their children. So their compassion is rooted in their experience as having been captives. And their compassion was learned after many years of wandering. So later in Deuteronomy chapter 24, we hear, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou wast a bondsman in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed thee hence. So they should be able to feel for the stranger. Remembering centers us, and it takes the attention off ourselves. They're described as being stiff-necked, which means being stubborn and being haughty, that you can't turn. Your head is up. My hair was really, really long in college, and it was heavy. It was like all the way down my back. And people said, I always walked around like this. And I said, well, I think it's my hair. But our neck position is now like this.
Yes.
Still stiff, but it's down now. We're looking at our phones. But remembering blesses you. It helps us acknowledge God's grace and God's guidance. We know where we came from and we know where we're going. And that's why if we write down our prayers and we keep track of those, and you can look at something from 10 years before and say, this was answered in such a way that I never ever thought that it could be. When you're in this dark, dark period and you think there's no way that this is going to work out, and it does. We see the results and we see what God has done in ways that we could never anticipate. So Moses dies at 120, and they say he's really still in good shape. They describe Sarah at 90 with the king wanting Sarah to be his wife, so I think she must have kept her good looks too. But so Moses is buried by God, and we're told no one knows where his grave is located. What an amazing thing to be buried by God himself. We know that the Lord loved him very much. So Moses is not the one who will take the Hebrews into the promised land. That will be Joshua. So his work is done. But when do we see him again?
Oh, Mount of Transfiguration.
Right. So in Matthew 17, at the Transfiguration, so James, Peter, and John are accompanying Jesus to pray, and Jesus' divine nature begins to shine, and his face is radiant, and his clothes are white and glowing. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah are there.
Right.
They're talking to him. So they represent the law and the prophets. So Moses, who interceded on behalf of the Hebrews, wandering in the desert, convincing God to save them over and over, he's there as an intercessor. And Elijah stood before all of Israel and prayed to God to show himself and to help change the people's hearts. So we know he was a prophet intercessor. But now we have Jesus as the ultimate intercessor who sits at the right hand of God. In Malachi, we're told that Elijah will return, and here he is. Mm-hmm. And John the Baptist is a representation of him. But here is Elijah himself. So we know that Moses is happy in heaven. And the three were talking about Jesus' exodus that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. So just as they walked to freedom and made their exodus, Jesus' exodus will overcome death and will be reunited to God. So Peter suggests building some tents. Let's make you comfortable so we can all stay here for a while. It must have been really, really exciting. But then God breaks in, as he did when Jesus was baptized, and he says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when he finishes saying that, Moses and Elijah are gone. So Moses had asked God to show him his glory 1,500 years earlier. And he gets to see the glory of God firsthand. So when Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets, he had the reflective glory of God. They said his face was shining where people couldn't look at him. But that was reflected glory. The glory he saw in Jesus was true divine glory. And Jesus tells the disciples, I mean, don't you think they were very excited to tell everyone what had just happened? But he says, don't say anything until after the resurrection. And they're all confounded. But we know that even though Moses didn't get to walk into the promised land, he is with Jesus. And we will see the face of our Father just the way Moses did. So we don't know what's ahead, but we trust God that no matter what we are facing, we will be safe. We do not need to be afraid. There's a famous prayer by Thomas Merton, a Trappist monk. He says, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I do. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust in you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will fear not, for you are with me forever, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. So we're asked to remember, and we're asked to walk with God. There are many special verses in the Bible about remembering. In Ecclesiastes, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. It's a beautiful, beautiful chapter. And in David's Psalm of Thanks, give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of his wonderful glory. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name, and let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always and remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Judah, his chosen ones. So we remember the Lord's protection. We remember the Lord's grace. They're reminded to not forget what they have been given. And somehow when we get there, we can think, well, we just pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. We just did it all ourselves. Some of the people who bother me the most are these very, very rich tech guys who start out wanting to build community, and they end up making billions of dollars, and then they don't seem to care about the bad results of some of the things they're doing. Like, why can't they keep 10-year-olds off Instagram? But I think I was reading about Jonathan Haidt's new book called The Anxious Generation, about how social media is really harming kids, because instead of playing outside, we have this overprotective parenting and then no protection on their virtual world. So we need to teach our kids that they are so loved by God, and they're not measured in the likes that they get. I know when I was young, we would just run around until the streetlights came on, and that's when you had to be home. Dinner. I don't think anyone gets to run around anymore. So Moses warned the people that when they go into the Promised Land and they're living in these amazing houses that they didn't build, and they're gathering crops that they didn't plant, it'll be easy for them to forget where they came from. It made me think of the stories of World War II, when people would be taken from their houses and the houses given to someone else. And so the Nazis would be there with this house full of art and antiques and beautiful furniture that wasn't theirs. And you know, we're watching this TV show, A Small Light. Has anyone watched that?
Yes.
Yeah. So we learn about this woman, Meep Geis, who worked for Otto Frank. And when Otto Frank asked if she would help them, when they went into hiding, if she would help feed them, which was really difficult since she had to get ration pay. I mean, everything was rationed, so trying to feed 8 extra people every day.
Anne Frank's dad.
Right. Yeah, Otto Frank was Anne Frank's father. So there were two families living in these rooms that he had put together behind his office. So since Meep was his secretary, she could walk in every day and it would look like a normal thing. But behind a cabinet was a door that went to their rooms. And they are, if you've ever seen the Anne Frank house in Amsterdam, they really are. They're the same dimension and everything. So it comes from a quote of hers that says, even a secretary, a housewife, or a teenager can turn on a small light. So it's just being brave. But for 2 years, Meep and her husband Jan watched over all 8 of the people. Otto Frank, his wife Edith, and his daughters Anne and Margot, hiding in the secret annex. And when they were taken away and captured, it was Meep who found Anne's diary. And so She witnessed their belongings being taken out of their house, and it was, but the diary, the fact that Anne's diary was rescued. Otto survived out of everyone. Otto was the only one who survived. They were all taken to Auschwitz. But Anne's diary became the voice of over 1 million Jewish children who were killed. So you wonder how the Hebrews felt settling into rooms and living inside after so much time in tents. They could finally bake bread in ovens with wheat that was provided for them. They had fields that were planted by others. They could enjoy fruit trees tended by others. And now the fruit was theirs and the harvest was theirs. And God tells them that as long as they remember him, they will have land and he will bless them. He will increase their numbers and multiply their herds. No one would be unable to conceive. No one would get sick. They would live long lives. They had finally reached the promised land, and all they had to do was remember him, to not be complacent, but to serve and trust the Lord. And this was Moses' great desire for them as he turned over the reins to Joshua and Eleazar the priest. For he's bringing you into a land of fountains and springs, flowing into the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and fig trees and pomegranates. So we choose to remember. Moses ended his speech in a really powerful way. He gave them a choice. I have set before you life and death. I have set before you blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. The Lord is your life. And if we choose to trust, if we choose to walk in the way of the Lord, it will go well with us. So it's a simple choice, but it's a choice that you have to make every day. Will we focus on ourselves or will we focus on the Lord? Will we listen to the Holy Spirit and what it prompts us to do, or will we go our own way in a stiff-necked way? So we need to wake up each day with a feeling of obedience and humility, saying, what do you have for me today? And if we make this decision to trust and follow God, we're promised life to the full, life abundant. And as Jesus promises us in John 10:10, and we're promised the fruits of the Spirit. And Diana reminds us in this lesson, we'll have abiding grace, love, mercy, and peace. The freeing choice is always within our reach. We choose life.
Amen. Amen. Catherine.
Can I just add a little note? So this week is Passover. And in every Jewish household, including my own, we celebrate the entire exodus out of Egypt and the praise of God. And there are all kinds of different things that each of the foods mean. Bitter herbs, you know, mm-hmm. sweetness, you know, all kinds of things. The tears, dunk your stuff in salt water. So this is just a beautiful talk because it just brought all that to mind. Remember, and that was exactly.
Well, the timing of doing Exodus and now is just so perfect.
Yes.
It's just incredible.
Thank you. Beautiful, Catherine.
God is good. Mm-hmm. Will you pray for us?
Catherine,
yes.
You know, I just wanted to, do you think, you know, I think it's such a nice thing that the Jewish families celebrate every Friday. You know, with
mm-hmm.
candles,
Shabbat,
Shabbat, and then this Exodus. I mean, this Passover thing, and we celebrate those things, but they're mostly in church. And I think and wonder why we lost that tradition of doing really, except for praying, you know, together,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Some sort of little ceremony, and you wonder if it partially it was because the Jews had to hide, you know, and so they did things not so much in the temple as their family, in their homes. I don't know, I just.
But I think the teaching their children and telling their children the history, I think that's, I mean, that's something we need to do too.
I think so too.
I think the closest thing I had in my family was like Sunday dinner after church, you know. But we were usually critiquing the sermon. We were not remembering.
It's something that each of us can try to do in some sort of way, you know, in our own homes with our grandchildren or our children.
Traditions are so important.
But I wish we had, you know, a little prescription of how to do it, you know.
Yeah, we have a friend who every Friday he send, he's passed away now, but every Friday he sent his children something to think about, either a Bible verse or a poem, or, and he asked for their comments. And it was just this, you know, it was almost like, I mean, he was Jewish and he wanted their Friday thoughts even when they weren't with him. And so I've tried to do that with our kids and made, and oh, this is mom's Friday thing again. but just that some, I mean, it'll turn eventually.
You know, growing up in my house, because we had meatless Fridays, because Catholic, right? We discussed all that. So that was our parents' way of, you know, we had meatless Fridays and we talked faith.
That's wonderful.
Well, there is something beautiful, and I'll try to get it so I can send it to you. But one of the things you can do when you go to Israel is experience and have dinner with a Jewish rabbi on Shabbat, and they bring you into their home and you experience just a Shabbat meal. But one of the things that they do is the family we were with had a lot of children, and the dad would call the sons up and he would lay his hand on each son and give them the Shabbat blessing. And it was a special blessing. And then for the daughters, he would lay his hands on his daughters and give them a Shabbat blessing. And then he would bring his wife, still makes me cry, and he would give her the blessing of Esther. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautiful. It was like, that's what they did before the meal. He gave each week. And there's something really missing in our culture. And even now in the healing prayer ministry, it's called the parental or the father's blessing. Mm-hmm. And you can go and have people pray over you, perhaps if you had really not particularly great parents. Mm-hmm. And you can stand in as a parent to do this like paternal blessing over individuals who never received that. So I think it's so important. Mm-hmm. And as parents or grandparents, if you can just do that, even now for your children, it doesn't even have to be a big ceremony. Just lay your hands on them and bless them, you know?
Well, you know, Melissa, I keep going back to the statistics you gave us about Christians and religion. I don't know if you remember those, but
it's so sad.
It's so sad. And
the pew ones.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just dwindling. Our numbers are dwindling. And so maybe we need to
even just something simple like that.
The other question I have, do you think the Jews know that Moses came to Christ?
Oh,
great question. The Transfiguration.
Well, they probably wouldn't acknowledge it right now, but there is a funny joke that, you know, they're expecting Jesus to come for the first time, right? And so my understanding is that when he comes the second time, he's going to come like taking names and kicking butt, right? He's going to come back not as the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, but as the Lion of Judah. And so, and we all as Christians acknowledge that as well, right? The next time he comes, he's going to be coming in power and glory, which is the way they expected him to come, not as the baby, but in the sky, you know, as this incredible savior. And so anyway, the joke is, well, how will we know if it was the first time or the second time that he has come to earth? And the answer is, we'll just check his passport.
but also the Jewish people have their own covenant with God. So when Jesus comes, their two covenants, ours and theirs. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is kind of an answer. Mm-hmm.
Well, he'll be the fulfillment.
Yes.
I mean, he always is the fulfillment.
Yes,
of the covenant,
he is.
And they'll see it. Their eyes is
right.
Like scales
wide open.
Fall off.
Right.
So.
They'll say, "Why didn't we see it the last time?"
Why didn't we see it before?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we'll all say that to some extent.
Oh, yes.
Well, let me close our just, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for the ability to remember. And we ask you to help us remember where you will let us, where we've come from, and help us to always look towards you for guidance. And help us to tell your story of faithfulness to our children and to share it, and to be willing to share what you've done for us, because no one can dispute that. No one can dispute what you've done for us. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that through his death, that you've overcome death and we can be with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 Thank you, Kathy.
When we start talking, the Zoom girls could be here. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Okay, small groups, everybody know your spots?
Yep.
And we have the banners on now on the app and on the website that we have. The 22nd is our retreat, and the 29th is our pate.
Yes.
At Melissa's house.
Yes. And hopefully the retreat will be at Becky's. If it's not,